College students in Connecticut can expect next semester to feel, well, normal. Public and private universities in the state say their campuses should have a pre-pandemic look this fall, and that doesn't just mean a return to in-person learning. Judy Olian, president of Quinnipiac University, which is a private school, says students will be able to enjoy the full college experience.
Students will be free to visit each other in the residence halls. Dining halls and dining services will return to normal capacity, just like restaurants. Social gatherings and activities will have far fewer restrictions, and our beloved 21 Division I student athletic teams will again have spectators.
Governor Ned Lamont says the state has an aggressive vaccination campaign to make that happen. In the meantime, the state is deploying mobile vaccination clinics on college campuses so students can be vaccinated before they leave for the summer.
You're listening to C19, WSHU's daily news update from the Connecticut, New York region.
Coming up, a new zoning bill in Connecticut has its opponents fired up. Hate crime numbers are up around the country, and Connecticut is no exception. And New England will play a large role in supporting President Biden's energy goals.
I'm Bill Buckner.
And I'm Sabrina Garone.
Opponents of controversial zoning bills in Connecticut say they would make it impossible for towns to say no to development projects they don't like. WSHU's Davis Donovan reports.
One bill would require certain amounts of affordable multifamily housing near commercial areas. At a rally in West Haven this weekend, the city's zoning commissioner, Stephen Mullins, said the bill would take power from local public hearings, which he called part of Connecticut's checks and balances.
How would it be if we had bureaucrats in Hartford who will make all of the decisions that go on in your respective communities without you having one bit of say? Are we standing up against that?
Yes.
The rally was organized by CT 169 Strong, named for Connecticut's 169 cities and towns. The group says it'll hold weekly rallies until the end of the legislative session. Davis Donovan, WSHU News.
Connecticut has seen a doubling of hate crimes in the state over the past year. As WSHU's Claire Sechrist reports, it follows a national trend.
Data from the Anti-Defamation League Center of Extremism indicated in 2020 there are close to 130 reported hate crimes in Connecticut, including white supremacy, anti-Semitic incidents, and extremist murder. In 2019, the ADL reported 65 hate crimes in the state. Jonathan A. Greenblatt is the CEO of the ADL. In a statement, he says white supremacists appear to be more emboldened than ever with the election and pandemic. The ADL says hate crimes towards people of Asian descent have also risen this year due to COVID and rhetoric by former President Trump. The ADL says white supremacist propaganda reached a new high in the past year, with a national average of 14 incidents a day. Data from the ADL does not show the full scope of the issue, and only a nationwide snapshot only of reported hate crimes, according to experts. Claire Sechrist, WSHU News.
The Biden administration has some ambitious goals in regards to clean energy, but what does that mean for our region? More on that in just a bit, but first headlines and a message from C19 supporter.
Support for C19 comes from Hartford HealthCare. More COVID vaccine answers at hartfordhealthcare.org/vaccine or 833-621-0600.
Looking to get the COVID vaccine in our region? Here's the latest on how you can do that.
All residents in our region over 16 are eligible for the vaccine.
Connecticut residents, you can schedule an appointment by visiting ct.gov/COVID vaccine or call 877-918-2224. New Yorkers, you can schedule an appointment using the Am I Eligible app or by calling 833-697-4829. On Long Island, both Nassau and Suffolk Community Colleges have seen a bigger decline in enrollment due to the COVID-19 pandemic than local four-year colleges. Nassau and Suffolk saw enrollment drops of close to 17% and 11% from fall of 2019 to fall of 2020, according to records from the State University of New York. Louis Petrizzo is the interim Suffolk County Community College president. Newsday reports he says the pandemic had a greater impact on blue-collar workers and people of color. According to SUNY, over 50% of students at Nassau and close to 40% at Suffolk were minorities this past year.
A new partnership between the Metropolitan Transportation Authority and a French transit manufacturer will bring the nation's first battery-powered trains to Long Island. The first test of these trains will take place over the next 8 months to figure out how long commutes would be, where charging stations might be needed, and other logistical concerns. LIRR President Philip Ng says these new trains can provide a cleaner and inexpensive power alternative. He says the trains fit with batteries could help the MTA avoid a $17 billion upgrade to electrify the commuter railroad tracks over the next few decades. President Biden's energy goals will make significant changes to where New England gets its power. WSHU's J.D. Allen explains that the way states choose to embrace these goals as part of their climate change plans could shake up the region's energy market over the next decade.
The Biden administration has ambitious goals, 30 gigawatts of offshore wind by 2030, with some poised for New England waters. Amanda Lefton is the new head of the U.S. Bureau of Ocean Energy Management, the federal agency that scouts and plans for clean energy off the coast. The U.S. has at least 17 leasing areas in the Atlantic Ocean, a handful of turbines already feeding the grid off Rhode Island, and even more potential wind farms in the queue for federal approval. One off Massachusetts, Vineyard Wind, could move forward this week. She says the agency will review up to 10 more projects later this year.
The United States offshore wind industry has the potential to significantly contribute to the nation's power mix, bringing clean energy to the grid, creating family-supporting jobs, and helping us confront the current climate crisis.
Biden's goals seek to create 80,000 jobs with more than $12 billion per year in capital investments to the regional electric grid. Ann George represents that grid at ISO New England. She says they see an opportunity in the direction federal and many state governments plan to take to lower emissions and address climate change.
We only take into consideration what's kind of hardwired in. We know, though, that legislatures are every year thinking about these things and potentially moving them up even further. So we every year we take a look at what the state policies are and incorporate that into our forecasting.
Biden wants the U.S. to cut carbon emissions by 50%. Rhode Island wants to go zero carbon by 2030, Connecticut by 2040, and Maine by 2045. Vermont wants to shift to 90% renewable energy and Massachusetts 80% renewable by 2050. New Hampshire has no net zero goal and seeks to reach 25% renewable energy by 2025. Only 8% of energy in New England today comes from renewable energy sources.
It's going to take a while to get to a point where renewable resources are providing most of that baseload.
Baseload service. That's the energy that needs to be there all the time to meet the minimum level of demand on the electric grid. Most states' goals seek to decarbonize that baseload with clean energy investment and incentives to reduce greenhouse gases. George says until then, the grid would need fossil fuels to hold them over for at least the next decade or more.
What we've referred to as balancing resources, those resources that are there to help when either the wind isn't blowing or the sun isn't shining.
Mike Ossere is VP of Business Development at Eversource, one of the region's largest utilities. He says the region will cut emissions 50% with offshore wind alone by 2050.
But that's not that far away.
He says the shift in resources to power New England should especially help lower electricity prices when home heating needs constrain natural gas supplies and costs can spike.
When we're seeing onshore that real energy crunch, that's when wind speeds are the highest and the most consistent offshore here in New England. And so when we project the expected wind production off the wind farms. It actually peaks during the winter.
And solar and wind with better battery storage options could help power air conditioners during the summer, which will get hotter due to climate change even as emissions drop. J.D. Allen, WSHU News.
For the latest news from Long Island and Connecticut, you can listen on the radio or online at WSHU.org. C19 is supported by Hartford Healthcare.
Here at WSHU, we think local news is important, and we're glad you think it's important too. Thank you for your support, and thank you for sharing our podcast with your friends.
I'm Bill Buckner.
And I'm Sabrina Garone. We'll talk tomorrow.